Okay, so that's Ma'or Chitin. In terms of Bein Hazmanim, so it's a very challenging time. It's a very challenging time for us. We're in yeshiva, we're very much spoiled. We have minyanim three times a day, we have Seder Limud three times a day. You have everything that you could possibly need spiritually for you right here. When you go back to the States or Canada, or whether you're here in Israel, in Eretz Israel, or in Italy, or anywhere that you may be, you're not going to have that built in for you. So I would recommend that everyone really plan out. This is a very nice test period of time for you to see how you're going to do outside of yeshiva. For those going to secular college, how are you going to budget your time when you're in secular college with minyanim, with learning, with other mitzvot? There's a famous mishnah that says Yafet Talmud Torah Derech Eretz Shigiat Shnei Mashkacha Tavon. How can a person avoid sin? So the Mishnah says it's good to do two things. One, to learn. And also, with the learning, you should also be working. That both of them together will forget sin. Shekol Torah, she'enima derech eretz. If you just have Torah without derech eretz, without working, without something, so then, sofa b'teila, in the end, that's going to be batel also, b'gerer tavon. So during Bein Hazman is a great time to fill your time up. Nature abhors the vacuum. So therefore you should fill your time up with davening, learning, and other productive things. Don't have your time unplanned. Because when you have your time unplanned, that vacuum is sucked up by things which, unfortunately, are generally shimum mevili day. If a boredom leads you to all other things which are not necessarily positive. So don't be bored during Bein Hazmanim, fill it up. Whether it's tiulim, whether you get a job, working, learning, davening. You should try to schedule around the tefillot learning. That's probably the best, easiest way to make sure that you're consistent with your learning every day. You have a limud kavua. If you could do it with a chavrusa, even better. If it's a chavrusa that's more consistent than you, even better. So whatever you could do to make sure, ezu chacham haroet anolad, who is a wise man, someone who can peer a little bit into the future and see what's going to be. You know yourselves, set yourselves up for success. Speak to a madrich, speak to your Rebbe, and try to plan out, schedule your time. Bein Hazmanim is a whole month. It's a very long time. It's almost a month. So you have a very long time. So plan it out well. This will be, we'll talk about this after you come back from Pesach break. This will be a great time to see where you're holding really with yourself, with your relationship with the Kodesh Baruch Hu. It's a very good test for yourselves. So set yourselves up for success. And then you could see, if you were successful in some areas, keep doing that. If you were not successful in others, so rethink it, and then you'll have the bigger Bein Hazmanim this summer, and then, you know, after yeshiva, you're really, unless you're coming back Shana Bet, and even if you're coming back Shana Bet, you have the summertime, it's a very, very important time to strengthen yourself, okay? So that's Bein Hazmanim. immediately, during Bein Hazmanim, actually, we start with a whole new new set of halachot, Sfiras HaOmer. So, just a tip. Counting Sfiras HaOmer, first of all, is a mitzvah d'oraita. The question is today, do we have a d'oraita or not, because we don't bring the Korban HaOmer? According to most poskim, it's not d'oraita today, but nonetheless, we still count, and we count with a bracha. You should count every night, and then you never, if you go to Minyan every Mariv, you will never have a problem, did I count, did I not count, did I forget, did I not forget? So that's the simple thing, just make sure you go to Minyan. Excuse me? Ah, very good. Excellent. Well done. So we'll get to that in a second. So that is number one. A lot of people, they're very good at counting Sfiras HaOmer, but for some reason, that first night of Sfiras HaOmer, specifically if you're in Israel, in Eretz Israel, if you're in Chutz La'aretz, so you're going to Shul, it's a Yontiv. But if you're in Eretz Israel, sometimes people miss that first Sfiras HaOmer, I don't know why, and they get that first counting. In any event, or the second day, or something, you have to make sure you're going to Minyan every night, and we'll get, except for on those Shabbases, when you daven early. Generally speaking, Minyanim don't daven early during the week. Some do daven before Tseis, but if you counted in a Minyan that daven before Tseis, you're still okay, according to most poskim. In any event, the question is, what do you do whether you're not sure you counted, or you're sure you didn't count? So, certainly everyone should always count every single day. The question is, if you missed a day or you missed a night, do you count with a bracha or without a bracha? So I'm going to just make it very, very simple for you. You can have a whole 45-minute shiur on this. We're going to make it very, very simple. Okay? So you should count every night with a bracha. If you didn't count at night, so you count during the day with a without a bracha. And since you counted during the day, you're considered to have counted, and therefore the next night and all the nights afterwards, you can continue counting with a bracha. So you just have to make sure that you count every single day. Okay? Again, l'chatchila, you count at night with a bracha. If you missed, so count during the day. Some minyanim have the minig after shacharis to say the day, to say the count, they're after shacharis, so you just make sure that you didn't mess up. And then you continue that way. Let's say you're not sure. I really don't remember. It's not that I remember that it didn't count. I don't remember whether I counted or not. So according to most poskim, again, counting today is derabanan, suffik derabanan lekula, you can continue counting the rest of the time with a bracha. We assume that you did count. Unless you know otherwise. If you know for sure that you didn't count, one day you missed the whole day, continue counting but without a bracha. In that case, the shliach tzibur who says the bracha out loud, or if you're in a yeshiva with a shul that the rabbi says it out loud, so you're somech on his bracha. He generally speaking, I will say the sphere somer in yeshiva, the bracha, and I will have in mind anyone who can't count with a bracha, that they can be somech on my bracha. So that's the bottom line. Okay, any questions about that? Sphere somer? Great. Sphere somer, I believe the Ramban says, it's a very, very happy time. It's the Chol HaMoed. It's a Chol HaMoed period. We know there are 49 days, right, of counting in between Pesach and Shavuos. And that's a very, very festive time. We're going from Pesach to Shavuot, which is a very happy time. And therefore, it's a Chol HaMoed of sorts. We're preparing ourselves for Matan Torah. What could be greater than counting that? Yeah. Excellent. So that's Midoraita. But then afterwards, many tragedies happened to the Jewish people. So what really was, in principle, a very happy time, became a time where we also commemorate tragedy. So it's a mix. It's hard. I think the reason why I started this way is because I want people not to feel that Sphere Somer is a sad period of time for the Jewish people. As a rule, from the Torah, it's a very happy time for Jewish people. We had a physical redemption, we had a spiritual redemption. And these two combine the two. Imagine counting up from Yetziyah Mitzrayim, you're waiting to receive the Torah. What a great period of time. So we can't forget that. At the same time, over the generations, there were tragedies. The most famous tragedy is Rabbi Akiva's students. And we can't take a whole generation of Talmidei Chachamim that were killed and that died and just ignore that. So Chazal felt it was important to make it a period of a serious period. Now, besides the fact that there were tragedy, it is a serious period because we're counting up to receiving the Torah, and that's a very serious thing. That we're going every year, we go through the same cycle of redemption at Pesach, which we'll talk about today, and spiritual redemption at Shavuot, which is a very important time, and it is a serious time that we're counting up. So it's not a time of frivolity. Is that a word? Frivolity. Anyway, so that is, it's not a time of that, it's a serious time. So in that grain, it makes sense also that we're taking things seriously. Yes, David Dayan. We'll get there. Absolutely. Yes.
The Pesach Seder itself, in Israel, we only keep one day of the Seder, but most people who live in America cannot keep 2 days, and we're only here for a year so far.
So I think Rav Paul also spoke about this last time. They're different minhagim. Minhag of Chabad is if you're in for all three holidays, then you would keep one day. Minhag of Sfaradim is that if you're single, you would keep one day because theoretically you could meet somebody and get married and stay. That's Rav Adi Yosef Sak. The general minhag of the Ashkenazim is to keep 2 days. There are some poskim. Although they're the minority, I will not dismiss them. There are some poskim who do hold that you keep one day, but Rov Poskim hold that you keep 2 days when you are in Eretz Yisrael, and you're not planning to stay in Eretz Yisrael. Again, there are posts to say otherwise. If you ask Rabbi Adler all your shilas, so then you'd probably keep one day, because Rabbi Adler paskins to keep one day. If you ask most Rabbanim in America, they would tell you to keep 2 days. Again, you should keep what your Rabbanim paskin for you. Rav Kualwasser in the yeshiva, he paskins for the guys that don't have a Masorah, that don't have a Shita, that are not Chabad or Svaradi, he paskins for them 2 days. And that's probably what you should do. Okay? Yeah? Sfiras Omer. So, it is. There was a great tragedy that happened, as we all know. The 12,000 pairs of Talmidim of Rabbi Akiva died during this time. And since then, there have been other tragedies in terms of the Crusades and other things that have happened to the Jewish people during that time. And so, based on different minhagim, and we're going to keep it very simple right now, based on different minhagim, different isurim, or minhage, nihuge avelut, were taken upon during this time. Okay. There are exceptions which we'll get to in a minute. Okay? First of all, what is the period of time that this nihuge avelut occurs? When do we do this? So there are different minhagim out there. There is a minhag, in accordance with the Arizal and others, that it's the whole entire time of Sfiras HaOmer. Again, we'll talk about the exceptions like Lag BaOmer in a moment. so that's one minhag. There's another minhag that we go from the beginning of Lag BaOmer, from the beginning of Pesach, all the way till Lag BaOmer, right? And then the Svaradim, they don't go till Lag BaOmer, they go till Lamed Dalid BaOmer, okay? Not Lamed Gimel, but Lamed Dalid. And we'll talk about Lag BaOmer itself. And there are those who say, no, the whole thing starts from Rosh Chodesh Iyar, and then you go from there all the way till the end. So there are different minhagim, there are different ways of counting the 33 days. Are they 33 consecutive from the beginning to the middle? Or is it from a little at the beginning from Rosh Chodesh Iyar to the end? Or do you say it's 33 days, including, but that doesn't include Shabbos, and doesn't include Chol HaMoed, except when there's no Avelus then anyway, so then it's really the whole period? So there are different minhagim. The general minhag, the default minhag, I think, is to go to Lag BaOmer, and then you're done. Right? That's the default minhag. But there are other minhagim as well. Again, Svaradim, they go not till Lamed Gimel, but the Yisurim of, let's say, getting married or taking a haircut would go until Lamed Dalet BaOmer. Okay? Not Lamed Gimel. That's one difference between Svaradim. We'll talk more in detail before Lag BaOmer comes. What are the things that are Usur? And what about other days like Yom Ha'atzmaut, Yom Yerushalayim, right? Lag BaOmer. So what about these things? Okay. So weddings. Weddings is really the main thing that was a takana that people shouldn't get married during these times. Haircuts is another thing that we don't take haircuts during this time. The third thing is shaving. Shaving goes along with haircuts, although there are those who make a distinction, which we'll see in a second. And some even say you shouldn't say Shechianu, although generally we don't hold that way, but if we can avoid it, we avoid it, but we do say Shechianu. And then dancing and music, and that as well, that goes along, that came along after the weddings, the dancing and music, etc., etc. So let's go back, let's do each one by themselves. Again, this is very brief. I'm not trying to exhaust all the possibilities and all the details of these halachot. Just in general, you should know. We'll start off with weddings. That's easy. No one here should be getting married during that time. Okay. If you were thinking of that, Akiva, we got to hold off. Wait till. Wait. All right. No. So that's in case you meet somebody. Okay.
That's why you're here.
That's right. That's right. In order to prevent this from happening, we have made a distinction between what's going on in the yeshiva today and what's going on here. The seder. This is until Lag BaOmer. On Lag BaOmer itself, Ashkenazim, they would get married. On for Sephardim, they wait till after Lag BaOmer until Lamed Dalet BaOmer. You got that? Lamed Dalet. On Lag BaOmer, there are many weddings that happen on Lag BaOmer. Okay. There is a question that's asked, a valid question. There are some people, although it's the minority, there are some people who get married in Nisan, Right? And they hold that the period of Nihugei Avelut start from Rosh Chodesh Iyar onwards, right? So some people get married during Nisan. Are you allowed to attend such a wedding? It's not your minhag is that you have Avelus during that time. The answer is yes, you're allowed to attend such a wedding. Although, if you're making a wedding, it is preferable to try to do it during a time where everyone agrees where you can get married, or at least most people, right? Which would be after Lag BaOmer. Yeah. Yes.
But before she's married, or is it when she's married?
So it's a good question. I think out of respect, you should try to pick a time which is good for both of them, for both families. Take a time. But again, as we said before, whatever is decided is the wedding date. As long as there is a shita that you're allowed to get married during that time, it's okay. We can get into more details about this. Yes. Okay, so now we'll get to shaving. So, okay, we'll get to shaving and haircuts right now. Yes, Rabbi Paltiel.
I'm locked myself. I would think that there shouldn't be any kikuk about if you're Ashkenazi, you're allowed to party friends setting a wedding, because if they're already making them listen to music for the Yuluv, Shimurakai, I'm locked on their Kalahomer wedding.
Well, the wedding is the biggest dinyan, actually. The wedding is the first, the big zeri. You shouldn't get married during this time. That's the biggest issue. So, Sephardim don't really have weddings on BaOmer. But again, if somebody does, you can go. Yes, you can go.
Right. But they listen to music.
They listen to music. Correct.
So
you would think, but the minhag generally is that Sephardim don't get married on BaOmer. You would think.
So to attend.
To attend, you can attend, yes. Okay, so that's what... So in Montreal, there will be no weddings in Lag BaOmer. Yes, sir. So we'll get to that. Okay. So, first of all, I'll say two different things. Right now, I'll say one thing, and a little bit later, I'll say a different thing. Right now, I'm going to say you should just know that there's a general rule by Hilchos Avelus. By Hilchos Avelut, the halacha is like the Makel. We're usually Makel by Avelus. However, with that said, we're going to find out that we're not so makel, generally speaking, in Sefiras HaOmer, even though in every single stage, just about, there's something to be makel about. We try to do what is accepted and not just what by the letter of law is permitted. So we'll just quickly run through it. So haircuts. Haircuts, but the fact that a person should not take a haircut during this time is probably a good sign that generally people should take haircuts. So haircuts... not taking a haircut is a sign of avelus. So during the year, a person shouldn't walk around like an avel. A person should get haircuts. It's a very important thing to remember for ourselves. During Lag BaOmer, until Lag BaOmer, so generally speaking, we don't take haircuts. If a person has a bris, his son, he has a son, he's a bris, the father, the sanduk, these people, it's a yom tov for them, and they can take a haircut. Okay, there are other days that were in modern day times, which came up as a question, and we'll get to them in a second. As Yom Asmut and Yom Yerushalayim, which we'll get to in a moment after we do the halachas. Shaving, most people view is the same as a haircut. It's really the same thing. It's also a sign of avelus, etc., etc. There are those who have claimed otherwise. Rav Soloveitchik is famously noted for a shita that no, if you don't shave, normally people in America shave, right? So most B'nai Torah in America, they go clean shaven. So if they go for 2 or 3 days without shaving, they really look bad. And the question is, how far do we go in terms of Nihugei Avelus? This is already not nice. And specifically for Shabbos, it's an issue. You're going into Shabbos. It's not covered Shabbos when you don't look nice. So there are those who went along with Rav Soloveitchik decades ago, and there's some even till today who hold by this, that for business reasons, etc., it would be proper, you can shave. And for Shabbos, there are many others. I think the Yemenite minhag is actually to shave before Shabbos. I don't shave, generally speaking, so I don't shave before Shabbos, but the Yemenite minhag is to, and there are other minhagim as well, to shave lechavod Shabbos. There are a lot of people who do it. However, and there's al milas smoch, and if anybody holds by this heter of shaving every couple days, or shaving for Shabbos, you should look at him as a kosher Jew. He's a wonderful person, and he's a Yirei Shemayim, and there's al milas smoch. However, I would say that today's day and age, the tzibur of people who are shomer Torah mitzvos, in all tziburs, whether it's Haredi or modern Orthodox, et cetera, certainly in Eretz Yisrael, I can't speak as well for America because I haven't been there, you know, over 20 years. I haven't lived there during this time specifically. But the minhag seems to be that that Bnei Torah, certainly if you're in yeshiva, that you should not shave during this period of time. Yeah.
For Soloveitchik's opinion, I guess.
Yes. He compares and contrasts the period of Sfiras HaOmer, which is lighter than the period of the 3 weeks, which is more chamor, right? The period of 3 weeks is certainly much more avelos than. So he says, you know, he compares the period of Shiva to and the period of Shloshim, right, and then the period of Yud Bet Shana, you know, to the different times. So really, the 3 weeks is more like Shloshim. The 3 weeks is like Yud Bes Chodesh. So then the Sfiras HaOmer period is even more mekel than that. So it's not that he bases it a lot on making the halachic categories. Yes, certainly if anybody wants to be somach and Rav Soloveitchik, yesh al milas smoch. It's not a question even. However, I'm just saying the just like today, there's a minhag for people to wear a kippah. And yes, they're heterim, and especially a few decades ago in the Sephardic community in Brooklyn, there were a lot of, you know, from Shomer Shabbos Jews who would go to business without kippahs, right? But today, it's such an accepted thing that everybody wears a kippah, you're not even looking to be somech on a heter not to wear a kippah, right? So the same thing, it's such an accepted thing that Bnei Torah don't shave during Sfiras HaOmer, there's no reason for us to be looking for heterim, you know, for not shaving. Especially if in New York, you know, if you're in New York, we have so many Orthodox Jews, it's such a common thing that people don't shave. Again, if you have a specific case, a specific business meeting, a specific this, but, so then ask your posek who knows you and knows the situation. But in general, certainly Bnei Yeshiva, who are learning in Yeshiva for the year, there's no reason why we should be makel on this, and we should not shave. Yes, question. There's a question. So make sure you get a haircut before Pesach, and then it shouldn't be too bad. It's really only a month. It's not so long. It's a month. Most people don't take a haircut more than once a month, right? So it's not such a long time. If you come into Yontav Mechubad, you'll be fine with your hair, which shouldn't be an issue. If your mustache grows, and it's annoying for you to eat, you're allowed to trim your mustache. That's not an issue. Okay? Yeah? Okay. Trimming is different, yes. Yeah, sure. Again, if it bothers you, so then you can trim your mustache. The big question is really music. And someone mentioned, is it live? Is it not live? Is even recorded music? Once upon a time, we only had live music. We didn't have recorded music. Today, there was a commercial when I was growing up. A Memorex had these tapes. And it was such good quality, the tapes, that they had this. Is it live or is it Memorex? Right? That was like you can't. Can you really tell the difference between live music and tape music? So, or recorded music. Today it's very, very close, and therefore many poskim feel that whatever Yisurim count in terms of live music should be for recorded music as well. There are others who say no. It was only. We're not going to go further than what the Gzera was. Gzera was on. Live music, we'll do live music, recorded music would be okay. And then the question is, what's the middle ground? It's generally accepted, yes. The a cappella, right. A cappella becomes very popular during this time of year, although the ruach of the halacha is to limit the simcha. It's not that we shouldn't be sameach. We should limit our simcha during this time. It's a time of tragedy. Rabbi Kiva's students died. It's a time of, you know, where there were many, many tsaras that happened to Am Yisrael during this period of time. So therefore, we limit our simcha. We're not besimcha, but we limit our simcha. And therefore, if the music is really great music and happy music, so even Maccabees, however great they are, you know, maybe that's an issue. Although, according to the letter of the law, the issue is the music, musical instruments, and not singing. Yes, sir.
I'm speaking right now for the musicians of our yeshiva.
Excellent.
We would not only be listening to live music, we'd be making live music, but the sharper appeal, we can't let you up.
I understand. Certainly, if you guys are practicing together, that's an issue. Whether a person can practice by himself, so I think you should speak. We'll speak that one-on-one. Speak to a person is allowed to practice if he needs to. If he's going to lose his skill, that's although generally speaking, we usually close the music room during the time. Certainly, in your rooms and any public manner, a person shouldn't be playing live music, and that was true for recorded music as well. For those who hold that recorded music is allowed, so that's fine. Only bein chala vein atzmecha. You could put earplugs on, you could headphones, and you could listen to your music. But please, we ask, don't publicly display that out of kavod for the tzibur. You shouldn't be, you know, playing music aloud for everyone to hear. Yeah. A person whose profession is a musician who needs a parnasa, he's allowed to play for non-Jews during this time. But we hope that there are no Jewish smachot going on during that time. It's a dry period. Many of these professionals also are Talmidei Chachamim, so they use the time to learn during that time. But again, you're allowed to play for non-Jews, but for you know, there's really not much going on otherwise. Yeah. It's a very good question. I've seen it brought down that any form of entertainment, which is public, which is marbe simcha, you know, not like a documentary, but a fun film. So going to the movie theater would be an issue. I remember I still etched in my brain from high school was I had a rabbi. He was like really into Musar. He was really he used to say, Rabbi Whale, you don't know him. It was way before your time. So Rabbi Weil used to say, if movies are mutter during the year, then they're mutter during Sfira as well. So everyone took that as a heter. You know, he meant it as an iser, but everyone took that as a heter. So in any event, but a person, it's a much more public, you go to a play, you go to a movie, you go to a public thing, that I think is an issue. As an issue during Sefirah Selmer. Yeah. If a person goes to music lessons during this time, it's permitted. If a person's playing to practice, to sharpen his skill, because he needs that skill, so then it's permitted. But a person just to play for fun, or just to, you know, or play with others, to jam with others, that's an issue.
Yeah.
Yes. Chol HaMoed, you're allowed to have live music, it's not an issue at all. It's a mitzvah of simcha. Chol HaMoed, you're never allowed to shave or take a haircut, so that's unless you were like in jail before the Chagin got released in Chol HaMoed, then you're allowed to shave. But otherwise, or you were sick in the hospital or something. But otherwise, if you were able to shave and take a haircut before Chag, Chazal say you're not allowed to during the Chag because you're to make sure that you'll do the proper way before Chag. Yes, David. Sephardi people, Mamuna?
Mimuna,
Isru Chag. There's a very special heter for Sfardim. See your local Sfardi, Mamuna. It's this Yeruchag, yeah.
It's traditional. Listen, I have a Mamuna tradition in my family. It's traditional to have music, like a rock and everything.
I don't know. I don't know. I don't know. I would agree with you, yeah. It's not a time for public displays of simcha, yeah. I have to admit that I don't listen to music much on my iPod, but me personally, I do see a difference between privately. It has become so much part of our daily routine that it's not a display of simcha as it used to be in my personal opinion. Again, there are many poskim who say that you shouldn't, but I totally hear the argument that today it's not the same as it used to be. But at the same time, out of respect for the tzibur, it's important that music would be kept to yourself and not publicly. Yeah.
What happens during DVD?
We can sing a niggun of simcha of kedusha. That's okay. We're not playing. We don't play. You can sing. We don't play. Yeah. Okay. Shechianu. There are many people who mistakenly think that Sfiras Omer is like the 3 weeks in terms of Shechianu. Shechianu, during 3 weeks, we generally don't say Shechianu. The translation of the bracha, Shechianu, that God kept us alive, v'kiyamanu, v'higiyanu l'zman hazeh, that thank God we came to this time. So it's hard to say, in a time of tragedy, thank God we're here at this time. So therefore, during the 3 weeks, we don't say Shechianu as a rule, although there are exceptions. And during the sphere, we don't say that. You can say Shechianu. Some people say that, okay, so try to avoid it. Try. If you have a new shirt, so wait till Shabbos, till morning, to do it. But really, Mikra Adin, you don't have to not buy something that you need because you don't want to say Shechianu. So you're buying a new house, a new car, a nice piece of furniture, whatever it is that you normally would say Shechianu on. So you don't have to avoid that. You could do that. Sfiras Omer is not the 3 weeks, and certainly not the 9 days. You can say Shechianu on a new fruit. There are new fruits in season. It's not an issue. It's totally permitted during Sfiras Omer. Okay, the exceptions. Lag BaOmer, most famously, that is a time where whatever minig you have, Lag BaOmer, we allow people to have live music and celebrations, etc., etc. Again, Svardim wait till Lamed Dalet BaOmer to take a haircut or shave. Ashkenazim on Lag BaOmer itself. And this year, I think Lag BaOmer falls out on a Sunday, which means that on Friday already, L'chavot Shabbos and Lag BaOmer together, you can already, if you're Ashkenazi, you can already shave and take a haircut already before. That's the exception to the rule. Okay? So that is in terms of Lag BaOmer. Before I say, talk about, yeah. There are. According to Arizal, the whole period is a time where, again, it's not only a question of velos, it's also just a serious period building up to Shavuot. Yeah. Yeah, there are some who say that you should never shave. That's also true. Correct. Okay. Before I talk about Yom HaTzmud and Yom Yishalayim, I want to finish because we're already 15 minutes late. But the just a little background, very briefly, Pesach and Shavuot are connected by a period of time which we call Sfiras Omer. They're connected not just by coincidence. It is divinely planned. And the idea, perhaps, is as follows. Pesach represents our national redemption. Shavuot represents our spiritual redemption. These two are connected. Our spirituality as the Jewish people is built on our national entity. On Pesach, we became a people, a Jewish people, we had a nationality. On Shavuot, we became a religious people. The nation of Israel has two aspects. We have a national aspect and a religious aspect. Chas v'shalom, should we make a separation between the two? We are a national people. We are a people with a land. And we have an army. We have a government. We have a body. And then we have a soul. And the soul is the Torah. We have a religion. These two, the Torah very specifically says, you count from one to the other. You connect the two. They're connected. Chas v'shalom, we should ever think that the Jewish people can be a religion without being a nation. And chas v'shalom, we shouldn't think we could be a nation without a religion. I say these words carefully. I say these words carefully. We should not ever feel inferior about our hashkafa in life to other hashkafas of other different types of Jews in the world. We have to understand that what I'm saying now, this is a Torah hashkafa, not just a Torah hashkafa, this is the Torah hashkafa. There's nothing in Chazal or in Torah which contradicts what I'm going to say. And there's everything in Torah and Chazal which supports what I'm going to say. And that is that the Jewish nation, again, we are a nation and we have a religion, and these two are combined forever. And anyone who wants to separate one from the other is not representing a true Torah hashkafa. A very loaded statement. So if you encounter Jews who are very Zionistic, very nationalistic, who believe in the Jewish nation, who believe in Jewish heritage, but they don't believe in Jewish religion, they are not representing a Torah hashkafa. They're not representing a divine hashkafa. If you have Jews who feel that the Jewish religion is only religion, it has nothing to do with statehood or nationality or anything, They believe that that's what Judaism is. They're ignoring massive parts of Torah, Nevi'im, Ketuvim, Chazal. They're ignoring it. How to balance today's reality of having a Jewish state which isn't run by halacha with the Torah, true Torah Shkafa, that is a very big question. But Chas v'shalom, we shouldn't think that Judaism is only a religion without a nation. We were forced to live a religious life for 2,000 years out of Eretz Yisrael, where we didn't have a lot of those national aspects of Judaism. Today, Baruch Hashem, we are proud and happy and fortunate and thankful that we're able to have a Jewish nation imbued with Torah, with the Jewish religion. Okay? That background is very, very important. We'll talk about that more in a great length after Pesach. But it's important to understand the time period of Sfiras Omer. Pesach is our physical redemption. Shavuot is our spiritual redemption. Not by chance do we have 2 days on the Jewish calendar that fell out in this period of time. One is Yom HaTzmaut, and one is Yom Yerushalayim. Yom HaTzmaut, Hey Iyar, falls out not so far after Pesach, our physical redemption, because yes, Yom HaTzmaut, the establishment of the State of Israel, is the physical redemption in our day. Baruch Hashem. Yom Yerushalayim, that was when we, Baruch Hashem, were able to take back Yerushalayim. Then HaKadosh Baruch Hu gave us Yerushalayim, and much of Eretz Yisrael today, Hebron and Shechem, as you were in the other day, just yesterday, so gave us back in our control. That's already another level. It's another level not only of the physical gula, but also of the spiritual gula. That we're able to build Yerushalayim, which is the stepping stone for Bezrat Hashem, one day, speedily in our days that we'll be able to build the Beis HaMikdash. Those 2 days fall out in Sfiras HaOmer, the days that combine, that connect the physical redemption with the spiritual redemption. And I believe that they must be viewed in that context. Now, as we come closer to Shavuos, we have these days which materialize for us this connection between the spirit and the material here in Eretz Yisrael for the Jewish people. Okay, with that said, the Rabbanut HaRashit Paskin, that the halachas that normally, the Nihugi Avelus, that normally take place during Sfiras HaOmer, so they don't take place during these days. Yom Yerushalayim B'chlal is after Sfiras HaOmer, so it's a different category, and there are different minhagim about what to do after Lag BaOmer. but that's Yom Yerushalayim is less of an issue in terms of that, but a lot of controversy has been and will continue to be about Yom HaTzmut, and we'll speak more in more detail about Yom HaTzmut and Sfiras HaOmer before that day. Okay, that is what I wanted to say today. The schedule for this morning, I purposely put in, Rav Kupperman, don't worry, an extra 15 minutes in the schedule because I knew that things would get pushed off, so don't worry, is as follows. We're going to start 3 rounds. The first round is going to start after I finish announcements. The second round will start at 11 o'clock. The third round will start at 11:30. No. At 11 o'clock, we'll have the second round, sorry. At 11:30, we'll have our snack, okay, outside. And that snack will be 5 minutes. And then right after that, we'll have the last round, which will go till about 12:15. And then Rav Kual Wasser will speak with everyone about halachas of Leil HaSeder. Okay, so we're going to do as follows. Rav Siv will be giving a shir on chametz u'matzah, really more chametz, and that's going to be in the Beit Midrash over there. Rav Kupperman will be giving a shir on the arba kosos of Leil HaSeder, which really gives you a lot more than just the 4 cups, but the whole mizgeret of Leil HaSeder, what Leil HaSeder is all about, in the back of the mechitza. And in the front, Rav Jake will be giving a shir on Vortz on the Haggadah, and that will happen over here in the front. We will have a round robin. I will give, or someone will give, a 5-minute warning to the Magide Shirim right before they're up, so they know it's a switch, and then we'll very quickly switch. How do we switch? This is great, guys. Anyone in this room with Rav Jake will go through that door to the base medrash on the left. Anyone with Rav Siv will go around there through that door to the back to Rav Kupperman. And anyone who's with Rav Kupperman will just somehow go between the mechitzas to the front over here. I know it sounds silly that I'm saying that, but in order that we don't have people walking into each other, that's how we're going to do it. Very simple. What? After the second round, we will have a break for a little snack outside the shul, and then very quickly. I ask everyone to be efficient. They're touching.